From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Gracious Dealing. The text is Deuteronomy 15, verse 18, And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. An Israelitish master was to give his bondservant liberty in due time, and when he left his service, he was to start him in life with a liberal portion. This was to be done heartily and cheerfully, and then the Lord promised to bless the generous act. The spirit of this precept, and indeed the whole law of Christ, binds us to treat work people well. We ought to remember how the Lord has dealt with us, and that this renders it absolutely needful that we should deal graciously with others. It becomes those to be generous who are the children of a gracious God. How can we expect our great master to bless us in our business if we oppress those who serve us? What a benediction is here set before the liberal mind! To be blessed in all that we do is to be blessed indeed. The Lord will send us this partly in prosperity, partly in content of mind, and partly in a sense of His favor, which is the best of all blessings. He can make us feel that we are under His special care and are surrounded by His peculiar love. This makes this earthly life a joyous prelude to the life to come. God's blessing is more than a fortune. It maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow therewith.
Before and behind me, I'm surrounded.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the LTBSradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Continuing his series of studies of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Stifling God's Truth, an exposition of Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. In this passage, Paul declares that ungodly men hold the truth in unrighteousness, that is, they suppress God's clear revelation of himself, both in their consciences and in creation. It is that suppression of God's truth which is the foundation of sin. Man's blindness to the things of God is both willful and wicked. Essentially, sinners refuse to worship God as he has revealed himself. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called Stifling God's Truth.
God has revealed himself in creation. You don't understand the stars. You don't understand a blade of grass. You don't understand anything until you see it as the handiwork of God. But that's what it is. But here's the truth. God not only surrounded Adam in the garden with a great revelation of himself. He did that. But he went even further. And God revealed himself in Adam. I don't want to get off into abstruse theology. But in other words, God gave man light and then he gave him sight to see the light. God gave man a revelation and in him he placed the reaction to that revelation. That's what he did. God didn't set Adam in the middle of a universe that all spoke of God, but when Adam looked into himself, he could explain himself apart from God. No. Adam could not make sense of anything apart from God. God has made it clear in man as well as to man. The word here means what it says. He has revealed it. He has showed it. He has made it clear. Do you see how this is building up? That's why he goes on to say they're without excuse. This was God's purpose in giving all this, to leave men without excuse. And this is the inevitable result. They're without excuse because that natural revelation clearly shows the true God. Remember what I've said. Creation does not prove the existence of a God or some supreme being or some great force. Creation witnesses to the God and Father of Jesus Christ, to the God of this book, to the Lord Jehovah. Creation witnesses to God. If men look at that creation and worship a tree, that's their fault. If men look at that creation and worship themselves as supposed atheists do, that's their fault. They're without excuse because the creation witnesses, even given the results of the fall, it still witnesses with tremendous clarity. I got a book recently by a man who doesn't write from the point of view of a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian. It's called Darwin's Black Box. Don't know if any of you have it or have read it. He's writing from the perspective of microbiology. And really what he's saying is, you can make great generalities, make general statements that paper over, used to be millions of years, and logical cracks to make atheistic evolutionism sound sensible. But when you get down into microbiology, when you reduce things to such a level that without, you can go no further without destroying the very existence of the organism. Really what he's saying is, try explaining that apart from the work of the great designer himself. Can't be done. Can't be done. So what I'm saying is that even the disciplines in which ungodly men have immersed their lives, force them, that's not too strong a word, to confront the reality that God has stamped the revelation of himself upon every living cell, on every speck of creation. God has stamped himself. That's what he's done. So that they're without excuse. Natural revelation is clear. But men don't see it. You see, their natural blindness is wicked. Because it's not for lack of clarity in the revelation. It is clearly seen, it is perceived, it is understood or revealed to the mind of man. It's wicked. And here's the responsibility, natural human responsibility. Man is responsible because his blindness is willful. It's the result of willful sin. And that brings us to the reaction of man to God's revelation. And I will have to try here to be sort of abbreviated. This you'll find in verses 21 through 23. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. I want you to watch something, and I'm going to go beyond verse 23 to show you the progression here. Notice the downward spiral in this chapter. Verse 21 starts off with man's ingratitude. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Then you have their imaginations. They became vain in their imaginations or in their reasonings. Then you have their idolatry. Verse 24 to 31, then you have their immorality. And then verse 32, you have their final impenitence. And therefore their doom. Ingratitude, vain imaginations, idolatry, immorality, impenitence and doom. There's a complete picture of mental, religious and moral depravity. Next time anybody tells you he doesn't believe in total depravity, have a look at that passage. This is total depravity. And it's utterly inexcusable because, look, they knew God. Now, I think verse 21 is saying that because it's a reference to the primeval creation. Adam knew God. Do you see that this is the very opposite to the theory of evolution? We are told that religion has evolved from very primitive ideas. In fact, the whole modern criticism of the Old Testament has proceeded upon this. That what you have in the Old Testament is a developing Jewish consciousness of God. They started off with very, very primitive concepts, and they refined them as time went on. That just as men have evolved out of some primeval slime into the wonderful monsters that you have stepping around killing people in various parts of America, so religion has evolved out of the primeval slime of man's early ideas to these wonderfully intelligent notions that men have today. Don't you believe it? Man started off with the knowledge of God revealed to him. Adam, as created, understood creation as no man ever since has understood it. Adam heard the voice and the testimony of every created thing with clarity. Adam knew God. And from there, it has been a devolving, not an evolving, state in religion. His posterity, indeed, have never utterly lost that knowledge. The light of natural revelation still shines. But men have been wickedly stifling its witness. They refuse, verse 21, to worship God. You know, that gets down to the very root of it. What was it that led to sin? What was Eve's great sin? What was Adam's sin in following her? What was Cain's sin in killing Abel? It all comes back to a refusal to worship God as God has revealed himself to man. They refused him worship. Then they became vain in their imaginations. They became, the word means, some say, futile. I'd like to put in the word wrong as the idea. Just plain wrong. They were wrong in their reasonings. Now that's a devastating statement from Paul. He's looking over the whole history. Remember, he's writing in Greek. Remember, the Greeks were practically worshipped for their glorious philosophies. And as he surveys the whole field of the history of philosophy and religion, he says they were wrong in their reasonings. They were vain, they were empty, they were futile in their reasonings. And their foolish heart. The word foolish means their non-understanding heart was darkened. You see again? They had light. They despised the light they had. They failed to understand. So they ended up in greater darkness. Now I want you to notice the force of this statement. There are two faculties in the human mind. The perceptive faculty and the receptive faculty. And both are depraved. The perceptive faculty, reasoning, depraved. The receptive, the understanding, depraved. And he says their foolish heart. Why does he introduce the word heart here? Because he's going beyond the understanding now. And he's reaching to the will and to the affections. And he's saying the whole man, mind and will. The whole man is totally depraved by the rejection of the light of God. The amazing thing is, in all this, men profess to be wise, while God declares that they're fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, men have rejected the verdict of verse 21 that their foolish heart was darkened. They think they do understand. But no, Paul says, they may pretend to be wise, but they're just fools. For the wisdom of sinful man is folly to a holy God. It's a fact you should never forget. Man's wisdom has never yet discovered God. Do you remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:21? The world by wisdom knew not God. Sounds a strange statement, does it not? You'd imagine the world by its ignorance. No, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world has never come to know the true God by human wisdom, by human investigation, by human philosophy. You see, God is revealed to men. And I want to tell you, if you reject God's revelation, you'll never find Him anywhere else. Not because He is not knowable or findable, but because when you get your eyes put out, when you put out your own eyes, doesn't matter where you look, you're going to see precisely nothing. And the folly of men is evident in the religions that they invent to meet the needs of their heart in defiance of God's revealed truth. Notice that the essence of all idolatry here in verse 23 is clear. It's a reversal of creation. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. In Genesis 1, God says, let us make man in our image. Rejecting God's revelation, sinners say, we will make God in our image.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.